Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Missed you last week. And, well, thank you, Ernie. Last time I preached here, I preached a sermon entitled The One Thing I Want. And today I want to do a sequel to that sermon entitled The One Thing I Need. To do this, I got to introduce you to a woman named Martha. She's mentioned in the Bible three different places. She's mentioned in the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 10. In just a minute, we're going to read some of those verses. She's also mentioned in the New Testament book of John, chapter 11 and chapter 12. Martha was a type A personality. You may ask, Ronnie, is that the way the Bible describes her? Well, not in so many words, but from her story, I think it's fairly obvious that she was type A. For example, she possessed a great deal of initiative. If nobody else was going to take charge, Martha would take charge. And when she did, you best get out of her way. Martha was outspoken and demanding. She freely, easily expressed her opinion. She fearlessly spoke her mind. She performed at a high level, and she expected all those around her to do the same thing. Martha loved to stay busy. As a matter of fact, I think that work was probably her hobby. She was self-confident, analytical, decisive, and a little bit impatient with anyone who wasn't just like her. You know, you may not have wanted Martha on your team because she was kind of critical and controlling, but you probably would have wanted Martha in charge of your team because she was what I call a get-her-done kind of individual. That's one side of Martha that I want to make sure that you see. But there was another side to this unique woman. She and Jesus were very close friends. Jesus loved her. She loved him. Martha was a woman of great faith. I think an unlimited faith in Jesus. She was hospitable and giving. She was a true servant who loved doing things for others. Okay, do you feel like you know Martha better than you did when we started? Let's read about her. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 39. I'm reading from a different translation than I normally use. It's the English Standard Version. And the Bible says this: Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. As Jesus and his men were on their way to Jerusalem, they entered a village called Bethany. That's where Martha lived, with her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. Martha was her typical hospitable self, and she invited Jesus into her home. Her plan, as we will see, was to prepare and provide Jesus with an outstanding meal. I want you to think of all that Martha must have done prior to Jesus' arrival. She had already decided on a menu, made a grocery list, went to the market, bought everything she needed, returned home, unloaded the groceries, and started the meal. Now, knowing her as we know her, I'm sure that she had given the house a thorough cleaning before all of her guests arrived. Point: Martha was busy. Meanwhile, what was her sister Mary doing? Helping straighten up the house? No. Certainly in the kitchen helping with the meal? No.
Setting the table.
No.
Serving the appetizers.
No.
What was she doing? To Martha, it appeared that her sister was doing absolutely nothing. Mary was just sitting there, taking it easy, while Martha was doing all the work. Was Mary being shiftless, lazy, and inconsiderate? Is that what she was doing? Not at all. Mary recognized an opportunity when she saw one. Jesus had come to visit. Think about this. Jesus had set aside some time that day just to hang out with his friends. So Mary wisely got just as close to Jesus as she could, gave him her undivided attention, hung on every word he spoke, and I think as a result, she was absolutely having the time of her life. What about Martha? Was she enjoying herself as well? Not so much. Let's read verse number 40. The Bible said, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him." Do you know the him we're talking about here? Jesus. "And said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You tell her to help me." The Bible said Martha was distracted. From what? I think the better question is, from whom? Martha was distracted from Jesus. Her focus had been stolen. By what? Martha was focused on all the work that was yet to be done. But now she was also focused on Mary and the fact that Mary wasn't helping. And she was also focused on Jesus and the fact that Jesus seemed to be completely indifferent to what she's going through. You know, I imagine that Martha started off kind of sending a message to everybody there with the poor old me look. You know what I'm talking about? I can see as she's coming out and back through the room, perhaps filling up tea glasses, that she gives that pitiful. Do you guys not see what's going on here? Do you not understand the load that I'm carrying? Can you not see that I need help? No, they didn't. I believe that look escalated into the, "Can you not see me?" Or the, "What are you kidding me? Like, what are you guys thinking? I mean, I'm the only one here doing anything." I believe that soon escalated into the, "I'll kill them all" look. At that point, something inside Martha snapped. She wasn't going to be treated this way any longer. Jesus or no Jesus, she was going to straighten this bunch out. Martha had a meltdown. Right there in front of God, literally, and everybody, she confronted Jesus. I paraphrase, does this not bother you? You're sitting right here watching me carry more than my share of the load. Could you care about me at all? Does my personal welfare not interest you? And then she looked at Jesus and said, "Well, let me tell you what you're going to do." Have you ever thought about that? Jesus, I'm Martha. We're doing a little role reversal here. I'm about to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to tell my sister to get up, get at it, and help me. And by the way, you're going to tell her to do that right now. See what just happened? Martha jumped on Jesus. And she's giving him commands. I think it would be safe to say that Martha was not enjoying herself. So what did Jesus do? Now listen to me. That had to make him mad, didn't it? For a mortal, a human being, to walk in the room and chew him out in front of everybody, all his buddies. It had to infuriate him. I kind of see all the disciples just kind of slipping back against the wall as they anticipate, here comes a lightning strike, just watch this, it's coming. How did Jesus respond to Martha's meltdown? Let's read two more verses. Well, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things." I believe at that moment she thought, "Well, thank you, Sigmund Freud. What a keen observation." This next statement is huge. You seeing it? "But one thing is necessary." There's only one thing that is needed here. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. To speak Martha's name twice was an expression of tenderness, not anger. Jesus wasn't mad at Martha. You know why? He understood her. And his aim was to help her. He immediately told Martha, "Here's what you're feeling. You're anxious and you're troubled." What does it mean? Martha was worried. I believe she, knowing her, was sweating all the details. She felt overloaded and overwhelmed. Martha was stressed. She was under self-imposed pressure to get all this done and get it done right. Martha was agitated, irritated, aggravated, and frustrated. She had more to do than she could handle. That distressed her, and others wouldn't help, and furthermore, didn't seem to care. That annoyed her. Martha reached her emotional limit, and this led to a meltdown. But according to Jesus, this was an easy fix. One thing, he said, did you catch that? Only one thing is needed. One thing will fix this. So what was the one thing she needed? Did she need to read a good book on time management? Maybe attend a class on anger management? See a therapist? Maybe she needed boundaries. What was the one thing she needed? Jesus said, I paraphrase, there's one thing that you need to fix this. Martha, you should be doing what Mary's doing. You say, what? Jesus said, what? He said, Martha, you should be doing what Mary's doing. Martha, if you had done what Mary is doing, you wouldn't be in this shape. Martha, you assumed you were way too busy to sit and visit with me, so you took your focus off me. And you've chosen to focus on chores, problems, people, schedules, and seemingly everything but me. That's what led to your meltdown. I believe he went on to say, I'm not about to tell Mary to do what you're doing, because if I do, it won't be long and she'll be in the same shape you're in. Jesus said, Martha, Mary doesn't need to do what you're doing. You need to do what she's doing. You need to put your focus back on me. Slow down. Be still. Visit with me and enjoy my company. Now, had Jesus just scolded her? No. Had Martha done something wrong? No. She simply made a bad decision. She chose not to slow down and visit with Jesus because she felt, I'm far too busy to do that. This shifted her focus off of Jesus onto other things, and the result was an emotional meltdown. What do we learn from this story? You ready? Here's a Christmas gift for you. Slow down or meltdown? The choice is ours. You got it? Slow down or melt down, the choice is ours. I think we live in a culture where a lot of people, maybe most people, can relate to Martha. I want you to think for just a moment. How many of you are sitting here right now absolutely stressed out? Don't raise your hand. Stressed out. I mean, really and truly, if you'd had your choice, you wouldn't even be here. You've got 73 gifts hidden in closets that you've got to wrap. And God knows you can do church any Sunday, but if I could just get those presents wrapped, huh? How many of you came in here today feeling absolutely overloaded and overwhelmed, stretched to your personal limit? Are you easily annoyed by people? Come on now. Some of you went to Walmart yesterday. Or worse yet, you went to Woodruff Road thinking you would have some relaxing Christmas shopping and maybe find lunch somewhere. You nearly killed somebody. Are you experiencing joy at this in this season? Or maybe depression? Are you experiencing peace or anxiety? Are you feeling contentment or emptiness? Do you ever feel you're right on the verge of an emotional or physical collapse? Do you ever feel that you're on the brink of going postal on somebody? I know that many of us can identify with Martha, and I think I know why that is. I fear that we've done exactly what Martha did. We've become distracted. Rather than focusing on Jesus, we're focused on other things. We're focused on meaningless details, unfinished tasks, crammed schedules, demanding people, growing problems, approaching deadlines, endless decisions, personal limitations, and the list goes on and on. These are the things we think about, and these are the things we're focused on. And as a result, we're a generation of Christian people who are angry, worried, stressed out, and exhausted. You say, I'm not exhausted. Then why are your eyes closed right now? Barb. That was a barb. We're a meltdown looking for a place to happen. We, like Martha, made a bad decision. We believed we were too busy to slow down and visit with Jesus on any kind of consistent basis. So we stopped making time for him. And that's when our focus shifted off of Jesus onto everything else. And that's when we started on a path that's taking us to a meltdown. That sounds like you. I got good news. This is an easy fix. Only one thing is needed. You got to slow down and make time for Jesus. On some kind of consistent basis, you've got to do what Mary did. You've got to be still, listen to, talk to, and visit with Jesus. As you do this habitually, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your focus is going to shift back to him, and you're going to find yourself constantly aware of his presence in your life. You're not alone. He's me. You're going to find yourself constantly focused on or aware of the fact that of his power and his wisdom. Anything you face, he can handle. I'm sorry, I keep swinging this out. I'm not used to this. You're going to find yourself focusing on him and constantly aware of the fact that he's faithful, he's good, he's going to come through for you. You begin to live with joy, peace, and contentment again. You'll avoid the meltdown. So in light of this, what am I recommending that you do? This is simple. Choose wisely. Jesus was clear with Martha. The reason she had not slowed down to visit with him was because she chose busyness instead. It was her choice. And she chose poorly. On the other hand, Mary chose to slow down and enjoy this time. Jesus was clear. It was her choice, and she chose wisely. The practice of slowing down to visit with God is a choice. If we do this habitually, it's because we've chosen to. If we don't do this, it's because we've chosen not to. Plain and simple. It's our choice. In regard to time, we've all got options, and we get to choose what we do with our time. Unfortunately, we're part of a generation of Christian people who, for the most part, have chosen to live in a hurry rather than to spend unhurried time alone with Jesus. We have chosen poorly, and that's why many of us are headed for a meltdown. I think it's time for us to reconsider our choice. I think it's time for us to choose wisely. You know, I've been preaching full-time now for over 31 years, and I have probably preached on this subject alone hundreds of times. People have listened to me patiently, graciously. They've nodded. Regrettably, most made a poor decision. And the decision was, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to do that because I can't. I'm way too busy. Perhaps the reason is they never really understood the benefit. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen the good portion. What does that mean? The Greek word translated into our English word good actually means beneficial. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen what was beneficial. Mary recognized the benefits of visiting with Jesus, therefore she chose wisely. Visiting with Jesus on a regular basis is beneficial to us. You say, how so? I'm not going to answer that question. You say, why not? Because 2 weeks ago I did. You say, well, I don't remember it, or I wasn't here. Well, it's online, and I would highly recommend that. I think it would be very beneficial to go back and listen to them, because I outline, how does this benefit us? If we do this, what's the payoff for us in the end? But there was something else Mary recognized that led her to choose wisely. She recognized that visiting with Jesus was a need, not a luxury. Jesus described what Mary was doing as a necessity. I think our perception of this whole practice of spending time alone with Jesus can lead us to choose poorly. You know what I hear constantly? Every time I've talked about this, you know the feedback I get? Ronnie, it would be nice to be able to do what you're talking about. It'd be nice. But I can't. Because I've got so many things I need to do. You know the problem with that thinking? Spending time with Jesus isn't just nice. It's necessary. It's not a luxury. It's an essential. Time alone with Jesus is essential for spiritual and emotional health. You see, it's during this unhurried time that we refuel and we refocus. Skip it, and we, like Martha, are going to find ourselves doing more but enjoying it less. Skip it, and we, like Martha, will find ourselves with a full schedule and an empty life. According to Jesus, visiting with Him is a need, and in many cases, it's the one thing we need the most. We must slow down, or we'll melt down. It's just a matter of time. Slow down or melt down, the choice is ours. So let's choose wisely. I used to be a lot like Mary. Man, I was easygoing. If there was one thing I was going to do in my day, I'll tell you what it was going to be. I was going to take unhurried time to be with Jesus. I would open up my Bible, give Him a chance to speak with me. I would, you know, I would talk to Him openly. I got to be honest with you, these visits with Jesus, they were the greatest source of joy in my life. And something happened. I transformed. I don't know exactly when it happened, Matt. I don't know exactly how it happened. But I became a lot more like Martha than Mary. Driven, compulsive, controlled by my to-do list. Could not be happy unless I was doing something. I got to check things off. I got to get things done. I continued to meet with God, you could say, but my meetings took on a different nature. It wasn't like two friends talking or a father and son hanging out and enjoy each other's company. It became like a kid sitting in Santa Claus's lap. God, I'd like one of these, and I could really use about a half a dozen of those, and will you give me this? My meetings with Him became a lot like an employee meeting with a supervisor. I've got this situation. How do you want me to handle it? You know, I'm going to be preaching Sunday. What do you want me to say? I won't tell you where it got me. It took a while. I won't tell you where it got me. It brought me to a place of emptiness. Dryness. distance. I tell you, seeing God as your supervisor and not your father and not your friend, ooh, that won't do much for your relationship. Boy, can I be completely honest? It got me to a place where I was anxiety-ridden and depressed. Now, those of you who heard the last sermon, you can identify what I'm about to say, but there came this hot, humid September morning when I climbed down out of a deer stand and I made a decision. I'm changing. I'm going back to the way I used to be. I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to rekindle my relationship with Him. It's going to be the first thing I attend to. And I'll be honest with you guys, I am. I mean, I'd say, I don't know, almost every day, it's the first thing I do. I get my Bible and I get a cup of coffee. And God and I, we visit. We visit. No agenda, really. I just want to hear from Him. And I want to have a chance to express what's on my mind to Him. I wish I could describe to you the impact it's having on my life. It'd be hard. I thought of some words like refreshing, invigorating. Fascinating. Well, I remember a time in my life where I was fascinated with God. Man, that fascination is returning. I told Lynn, I hunted Thursday afternoon, and I came home and said, Lynn, I wish I could describe to you what I experienced sitting in the woods alone with God today. But I can't. I can't find the words to describe to you what I experienced today. I wish I could describe it for you. I know this. What I'm experiencing, I want you to experience. And I'm not saying that in some condescending way. It's the one thing I want for you. I look back on that September morning and I didn't see it then. I see it now. It was the one thing I needed. And I just got this feeling that it's the one thing you need. The one thing you need the most. So I want to encourage you. Choose wisely. Choose to carve out a little time. It doesn't take a lot of time. And do what Mary was doing. Give God your undivided attention. Encourage Him to speak to you and you listen. And you talk to Him. You visit with Him. And you enjoy those visits with Him. I promise you this. It'll revolutionize your life. Let's pray together. Father, I marvel that You, our Creator, Sustainer, Savior, that you want to have a relationship with us. That you're always available, but seemingly we're always busy. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me that you'd want a relationship with us, but if that's the case and you're taking the initiative, how could we be too busy to take advantage of that? So God, here's my prayer. That is that the one thing we need will become the one thing we want. And we'll find ourselves seeking you first. In Jesus' name.